Welcome into WSOU Sports NFL Super Wildcard Weekend Preview Show. My name is Jory Mickens, and I will be joined by a panel of guests throughout this entire segment. But my co-host, Chris Kiley, how are you doing this afternoon?
Jory, I'm doing phenomenal. I think that when you think of the best times of sports, you obviously have March Madness. You have that period of like June where you get like that mix of like basketball and hockey playoffs, but I also say wild card weekend, right? Like after Christmas, when you kind of get in that phase, having wild card weekend, I think is so great. Particularly now in second year where you've got like six games, chef's kiss.
It is certainly going to be a jam packed weekend full of great football, and I'm excited to talk about it. And we're going to jump right into our first matchup. But before we do, I'm going to introduce our two guests, our two specialists, Michael Bellafamini and Victor Gonzalez, who are here ready to talk about the Las Vegas Raiders and the Cincinnati Bengals, the first game of the weekend. Gentlemen, how are you doing?
Doing great.
Doing great. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Ready to talk about this AFC matchup. Again, the number 5 Las Vegas Raiders and the number 4 Cincinnati Bengals. These two teams met in week 11 of the NFL season with the Bengals winning 32-12 at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. And this matchup will feature starting quarterbacks Derek Carr and Joe Burrow, both who will be making their NFL playoff debut. And it'll be the 6th oldest coach and interim head coach for the Las Vegas Raiders, Rich Bisaccia, versus the 2nd youngest coach in the league, Cincinnati's Zach Taylor. So, Victor, we'll start with you. I mean, as our Raiders specialists, they're coming in as the underdog. They're going to be on the road. Again, this is Derek Carr's first playoff game of his career, which is honestly surprising considering he's been in the league for what seems like forever. I mean, what is the game plan for the Raiders to secure a victory against the Bengals?
Yeah, I think when you come into this game for the Raiders, definitely the game plan offensive-wise is to just let Derek Carr cook, you know. You're going to want to exploit that defense that the Bengals have. It's going to be an offensive shootout with Joe Burrow on the other side of the Bengals. But, yeah, you just want to – they want to run the ball efficiently, which they have been doing with Josh Jacobs the past couple of weeks. And you could also see it last week against the Chargers. I think he had 109 rushing yards against the Chargers, a really effective running game that they have over there. And on defense, it really starts with the defense. That defensive line is really a force to be reckoned with Yannick Ngakoue on the right end and Max Crosby on the left end. And then you got Darius Filon right in the middle. The defense is going to be a huge part into limiting the Bengals' offense. And I think that's where the game plan really starts for the Raiders to win this weekend.
Yeah, and you know, for the Bengals, Joe Burrow and Cincinnati, their offense has been red hot entering this game. Michael, Joe Burrow in his last two games, 971 passing yards, 8 touchdowns, and 0 interceptions. I mean, as our Bengals specialists, our Bengals analysts, I mean, what is the path to victory for them and this team?
Yeah, I picked the Bengals as my team because they're just a team of chaos. It's pretty fun. I've been watching them lately. They put up 50 points on Baltimore a couple weeks ago. It's been unbelievable how they turned their franchise around the last couple of years. Usually this time of year they'd be looking at mock drafts, but now they're hosting a playoff game in the jungle for the first time in 6-7 years. So I know it's going to be packed and just going crazy. And just the offense alone, it's just like an all-star team this year. Joe Burrow, Joe Mixon, rookie of the year, got to be Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd. It's just nonstop weapons. I think it's going to be hard to stop for Vegas. They've had trouble with their secondary, and they're probably exhausted because they just snuck into the playoffs. They almost had a heart attack against the Chargers last Sunday night, so they got to be run on fumes. And the Bengals have just been the offensive power lately. It's just been unbelievable. And then on defense, you got Trey Hendrickson on the D-line, Jesse Bates in the secondary, Von Bell. It's just even on the defense, I know it's not as popular as the offense, not as well known to nationally football fans. And then you got on their kicker solid too, Evan McPherson. So I think it'll be a high scoring game.
Yeah, I mean, Absolutely. The Raiders this season are 4-4 when they allow 27 or more points. And all four of those wins actually came in overtime for Las Vegas. So I wouldn't be surprised if this isn't one of the higher scoring games of the weekend. But Chris, is there anything else you want to mention about this matchup before we get into our picks?
Yeah, I think that so far when you look at these two teams, the Raiders have been a very battle-tested team throughout the year. When you looked at what they've just been going through, Gruden, Henry Ruggs situation, they were at 6-7 in the year and they just went four straight. They've had six games in which the final play has been decided by a field goal with them, six of their wins. What I really think is going to be the X factor for this game is going to be Cincinnati's O-line versus the Raiders' D-line. The Cincinnati Bengals this year, I think, allowed our top three in sacks allowed with Joe Burrow. And I think that what we saw last week with the Raiders versus the Chargers, you had Quentin Jefferson, you had Yannick Ngakoue, you had Max Crosby, who's an absolute menace at defensive end. What I think you're really going to have to watch out for is in that second and third second half, and in the third and fourth quarter when it's a close game, that you might be able to see the Raiders maybe, you know, have a big advantage when it comes to that line, be able to press against the Bengals front that's going to be protecting Burrow.
Yeah, I mean, both of these defenses, they haven't been particularly spectacular throughout the season, but they know when they, I think they're going to be able to get it done in this, you know, win or go home situation. But that being said, we can now kind of get into our picks for this game. Victor, we'll start with you. Who do you think comes out on top in this matchup?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really close game, high scoring though. I'm gonna go with the underdog. I'm gonna take the Raiders. I think Derek Carr just has that killer instinct, and he's gonna go out there and show up. And that defense for the Raiders, I really feel like it's gonna step up. And as Chris was mentioning, Max Crosby leads the league in QB hits and QB pressures. I think that's just gonna be too much for Joe Burrow and that O line that's, you know, hasn't been great all year. And I think the defense is really gonna get a Joe Burrow. And at the end of the day, I think the Raiders are gonna come out with the victory.
Michael, what's your pick?
Well, I know the Bengals historically have really struggled in playoff games, especially the wild card round. They haven't won a playoff game, I think, since early 1990s, but just something about this team, it just feels different that they're going to be a threat for a long time. This is just the beginning of their window. I think it'll be a close game through the first three quarters, and then the Bengals will pull away late, and Joe Burrow really prove why he could show all that swagger out off the field. And I think the Bengals will win 34-23.
Got a score prediction. Interesting. Nice, nice. I like that. Chris?
This is one I've been thinking a lot about. And that when you've seen Burrow this year, that one thing that they've been struggling when they had these bad losses against the Bears and Jets, it's been really when they're turnover plagued. And I think I'm going to go with the underdog as well with Victor, that I like the Raiders' defensive line, and that whenever I see – teams that are successful in the Super Bowl and the postseason in general in the NFL, you've got great defensives usually, and you've got a solid quarterback, and the Raiders check that list. And I think the Raiders will once again continue that luck and pull out an upset victory in Cincinnati.
Well, I think we're going to be split right down the middle. I'm going to have to ride with Michael and the Bengals. Again, the defensive ends for the Raiders, Yannick Ngakoue and Max Crosby, they've been outstanding in getting to the quarterback with combined 18 sacks and 53 QB hits. But that hasn't really bothered Joe Burrow in this offense throughout the season. I mean, they still finished as the number four team in the AFC, despite Joe Burrow being the most sacked QB this season. He's taken 51 sacks during the regular season. So I think this offense is going to be humming, especially at home. Coming off two major victories for the Bengals, I mean, I expect them to take care of business and secure a victory. And despite, you know, historically not being a great playoff team, I think they're going to be able to get the job done. With that being said, Victor, Michael, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for your insight, and we hope to talk to you soon. But up next, now we are going to transition into our next matchup. That is the number six New England Patriots versus the number three Buffalo Bills. And for this matchup, we are going to be joined by Jimmy Bliss and Ryan Henry. Before we even talk about this game, guys, how are you doing?
Doing pretty good, Jory. Always exciting time of year whenever the NFL playoffs do start. And I can't wait to see who's at the top of the mountain as soon as this playoffs is over.
Yeah, very exciting NFL playoff season. You know, we got the Super Wild Card weekend, additional Monday night game. And, you know, I think it's going to be a great week this weekend, and I'm excited.
Yeah, this is an interesting matchup for sure. These two AFC East division rivals split their season series this year, with the Patriots winning 14-10 in week 13, and then the Bills trouncing the Patriots 33-22 in week 16. But that being said, Sean McDermott is 3-7 against Bill Belichick, and the New England Patriots during his 5-year tenure as Buffalo's head coach. And the Patriots have won the first and only playoff game between these two franchises way back in 1963. So, again, this is it's a long time coming for these division rivals. But, Jimmy, we'll start with you on the Patriots' end. I mean, what is the game plan for Bill Belichick? Obviously, he's one of the best head coaches ever. How can he get it done against the Buffalo Bills in this as an underdog?
It's crazy to think that so much change has happened to the Patriots within the past 2-3 years, but yet they're still in the playoffs, and they're still a very, very strong team. Just about a month ago, everyone on the NFL was saying that this was the one team that they do not want to see in the playoffs, was this Patriots team. Mac Jones was playing well, tight ends were playing well, their running game was working very well, and their defense was stifling. But then a few weeks of bad play came, and now not everyone's saying the same thing, but I would be saying the same thing if I was on the other end. This Patriots team is dangerous, absolutely dangerous. Coming from a Jet fan that has seen this Patriots team twice this year and 10 times over the past 5 years, this is an insane team. They have a plus 159 point differential, this Patriots team. They're second in points allowed and sixth in points scored. Damian Harris is ranked as the number one running back according to PFF, which is surprising to me that he was actually over Jonathan Taylor, but alas, he was. And they have a number three ranked PFF guard as well. So they're going to be relying a lot on their run game this game, as well as their defense. J.C. Jackson, 8 interceptions this year. Judon had 12.5 sacks. He was very, very good as well. And the Bills are a one-dimensional team. They can't run the ball. So they're going to be dropping back to pass potentially 50, 55 times this game on Saturday evening. So that just gives Matthew Judon, Jamie Collins, the rest of this defensive line, the ability to tee off and just go after Josh Allen. I think that the Patriots, they have every piece in play to win this game. I'm actually kind of surprised that they're underdogs. I know that they lost a few weeks ago, but when you have the greatest coach of all time, he's going to find a way to win when he's not supposed to win. He does this year in, year out, with Tom Brady, without Tom Brady. Even last year with Cam Newton in a down year, they still won 7-8 games, and they were in playoff contention until the final week of the season. You can never overlook any Bill Belichick-led team. So the key to victory for them, run the ball and take up the time of possession. If you win the time of possession battle, you're going to come out of Buffalo with the W.
Yeah, I like all your points. New England, they had one of the most stout pass defenses in the NFL this year. They were second in interceptions, completion percentage, QB rate, and yards per attempt. So again, it's not going to be an easy road at all for Josh Allen in that passing offense. But speaking of which, Ryan, I mean, what can the Bills do? Obviously, they more recently defeated the Patriots in their matchups, but what can the Bills do to take down the Patriots in this one?
I think this game is going to revolve a lot. The X factor for this matchup has to be Josh Allen for me. And Jimmy mentioned it. The first time these two teams played, Josh Allen wasn't spectacular, to say the least. I mean, he had just a 50 completion percentage, only 145 yards on the ground. He didn't do a whole lot either. But the thing we have to watch out for is right now, the weather in Buffalo is supposed to be terrible for quarterback play. I think expected temperatures of 4 degrees with wind chills dropping in the negatives. And if you guys haven't aware of seen the stats, Josh Allen has been a terrible, terrible quarterback when it comes to playing in the cold weather below 40 degree temperatures. I mean, the splits right now, he's throwing under almost 80 yards per game less in games below 40%. His completion percentage goes from 66.8 to 54.5. Touchdown interception ratio, just 9 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. And total touchdowns, rushing touchdowns, just 2. And so, you know, the weather isn't ideal for Josh Allen. It's going to be, can he overcome this lackluster weather, or can Devin Singletary in this ground game really make up for the fact that this is going to be a less than ideal situation for the passing game? So I think that's what this game is really going to come down to.
Yeah, you make a great point about the weather. Just looking at the weather in Buffalo, I mean, it's supposed to be a low of 4 degrees on Saturday when this game is going to be played. So again, it is going to be brutal out there for both of these teams. But New England, I mean, they're up there in the Northeast, so they're familiar with that kind of weather. They played in that kind of weather before. But Chris, I mean, both of these teams, great defenses. It could be one of the lowest scoring games of the weekend. I mean, what do you expect from this game?
Definitely. I think this is probably my favorite matchup, because I think when you looked at these two teams, they do not like each other. And for Buffalo, they definitely came in thinking that this was their year, and that they should be they thought even that they would be the number one seed. And obviously that isn't the case. But when they hit a tough patch in the season, when they lost the Jaguars and they got stomped by the Colts, people were really starting to question, is this team legit? And since then, they've had some great turnaround. Their defense, we've not talked yet once about their defense. They are first in the total defense, passing yards, points allowed, top 3 in interceptions, turnovers, without even a single Pro Bowler. That they've definitely proven that they feel that they are the better team against New England. Now, when we look at the Patriots, I believe that this is a classic Belichick defensive first team, where you have New England, who is a solid top 10 offense in the league, even without a 1,000-yard running back or 1,000-yard receiver. They're still great. They're not going to allow many sacks. Their defense is going to force a lot of turnovers, which is something that Josh Allen is susceptible to. So I definitely think this is going to be a great game. This is going to be a low-scoring game. I really think that for usually NFL in general that aren't like warm-weathered areas, I'd always believe in low scoring games happening for the playoffs.
Yeah, and it's honestly incredible what the Bills defense has been able to do, even though they lost Tre'Davious White, you know, an all pro cornerback in the middle of their season. Again, like you said, just one of the best secondaries in the entire NFL. But now it's time to go through and pick or make our predictions for this game. Jimmy, we'll start with you. Who do you have winning this one?
I like an upset here, Jory. I think the Patriots are going to get this done. And I just think that with the way Josh Allen's been playing recently, with the way that the Patriots defense has been playing recently, he's going to be making a lot of mistakes, like Chris alluded to earlier. And Josh Allen, just like Ryan said, not very good in cold weather. It's going to be cold weather. New England is used to cold weather. I think that the Patriots are going to win this by a touchdown. I'm going to say 20-13, the Patriots come out with the W.
Go ahead, Ryan. What do you think?
This game is a classic Bill Belichick business trip. I think I'm also predicting an upset Patriots over the Bills. And I think a lot has to do with these unideal, you know, conditions for the weather. I mean, if this was a game where you're playing in a dome where it's like 60 degrees with minimal winds, I think I would favor the Bills, but you're neutralizing essentially a lot of the Bills' offensive game plan, which is their aerial attack with, you know, Josh Allen throwing it to Stephon Diggs. You have Cole Beasley, Gabriel Davis. And so when you're neutralizing that and forcing Devin Singletary to beat you on the ground, it's not really ideal for the Bills. And I said before, Josh Allen splits in the cold between like regular weather is just drastic. So I think this is going to be a classic barn burner. I'm going to say 13-7. I don't think either team is scoring over 15 points. It's going to be an ugly, ugly defensive game, but I have the Patriots upsetting the Bills.
Go ahead, Chris. What do you think?
I'm right there with Ryan right there. I could see I think that this is going to be like at max like 17, like 14. But when it comes to my pick, I've felt that this is Buffalo is they're my AFC team to go to the Super Bowl. I felt that this is their year when you've looked at how frustrating I think a lot of fans felt with New England last year, and that there really wasn't really full, there was no real fans to see. And the fact that they had that one year where they didn't have the playoffs, they weren't this team with Brady. And now that we're seeing them back here again as a potent threat, I think it's going to be great to see fans get to see New England really get hit again without Brady. Mac Jones, I think we've shown his ceiling now. His last four games, he's been really unimpressive. That's excluding the ridiculous cold game versus Buffalo previously, where they just neutralized him and he couldn't do anything. They just relied heavily on their running in just that cold weather game. I'm going to continue with my thesis of just going with the better quarterback and the better defense. I'll go with Buffalo and 14-17, similar to Ryan. I see like both teams having three scores max if they win.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with both everyone. I think it's going to be the lowest scoring game of the weekend. That being said, I'm going to have to ride with Ryan and Jimmy's pick. I think the Patriots are going to be able to get the upset in Buffalo. I mean, if there is one area that Buffalo's defense is susceptible, it's on the ground. And, you know, we talked about the weather. If Josh Allen really can't make the plays that he needs to throughout the game, I think the running back for New England are going to dominate, that being Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson, just like they did in Week 13. But on the ground this season, Buffalo's defense allowed 19 rushing touchdowns, 12 20-plus yard runs, and 4 40-plus yard runs, both which ranked, I believe, in the top five in the NFL. So, again, their secondary is outstanding. Their rushing defense isn't up to par, or isn't as great. So I think it's going to be, again, a very low-scoring game, but I do think Bill Belichick and the Patriots are going to get the job done. Well, again, Jimmy, Ryan, thank you for joining us. We'll hear from both of you very soon, Ryan in particular. Jimmy will hear from him a little bit later. But now we're going to transition into our first NFC playoff game of the weekend, that being the Philadelphia Eagles versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Obviously, in this matchup, Tom Brady, he is going to be taking on the last team to defeat him in the Super Bowl. But that being said, a lot has changed in Philadelphia since then. They have a new quarterback and a new head coach. But the Eagles, when they played the Buccaneers back in Week 6, they only lost by 6 points. And that was when Tampa Bay still had Chris Godwin and Antonio Brown, as well as players Leonard Fournette, Shaq Barrett, and Jason Pierre-Paul at full health. So, you know, that being said, things could be looking up for the Eagles in this one. But, Ryan, since you are our Eagles analyst, we're going to start with you. I mean, what can the Eagles do to pull off this upset? Obviously, I think this is one of the more lopsided matchups of the entire weekend. But is there any way that Philadelphia can secure a victory here?
Yeah, I think there's an avenue where they can secure the victory. And I think the big thing is controlling time of possession. You know, the Eagles to start off the gate were very bad. They start off the season 2-5, and then they started rattling off a lot of wins. And a lot of it had to come with, you know, Nick Sirianni changing this offensive philosophy to the ground game. I mean, Jalen Hurts was getting involved in the rushing game. Miles Sanders, even though he's in and out of the lineup, was still producing. And then you had contributors from the backups, Boston Scott, particularly against the Giants. Jordan Howard had a couple of solid games, and Kenny Gainwell. So, you know, the Buccaneers have a very solid rush defense. Vita Vea in the middle is probably one of the best nose tackles in all of football. You know, his ability to control the line of scrimmage is going to be huge. But the Eagles offensive line, you know, has been consistently one of the best units, not just maybe this year, but really past 5-10 years. Jeff Statlin, one of the best, you know, position coaches in football. Jason Kelsey just got a first team All-Pro selection. Lane Johnson got a second team. You have Jordan Mailata, who has established himself as one of the better young offensive tackles, and Landon Dickerson at the left guard position. So if you can control the point of attack, and you mentioned Shaq Barrett and Jason Pierre-Paul, I think they're both expected to play, but they're not going to be 100%. So that's something you look to take advantage of. And then, so I think if you can control the time possession and control the battle at the line of scrimmage with that potent offensive line and really rush the ball down Tampa Bay's throat and not make Jalen Hurts make a lot of difficult passes, I think there's a very good – there's a good chance that they can pull off this upset.
Yeah, I mean, Tampa Bay, they're a very well-rounded team. Like you said, their rushing defense is pretty good. It's, I mean, almost great. Their pass defense has been great. But like you said, the Eagles offensively has been – they've been outstanding running the ball this season. They have one of the best offensive lines in the league, and they ranked fourth in yards per carry this season and first in yards per game. So if they can, like you said, dominate the time of possession, keep the ball out of Tom Brady's hands, who knows? Maybe they can, you know, secure an upset. But, Chris, I mean, what do you see in this matchup between these two teams?
I think that this really big focus is going to revolve around the Eagles. It's really three things to beat the Bucs. I think, number one, they need pressure on Brady. Philadelphia this year was very conservative when it came to blitzes most of the year. And the Tampa had as the phenomenal line. They're the best differential in sacks in the entire league. So that'll be big. And then also two more things that Philadelphia, the best defense for them is going to be a good offense. If that rushing team can control that time of possession and limit the Bucs offense on to be on the field, they were first in yards per game. If you can limit them by having long sustainable drives with that rushing game, then I could see, well, Philadelphia having an opportunity. And then lastly, when you look at Philadelphia, that's a team that is focused on rushing. You need to have a hot start. You can't just let defer, give up seven, and then go three and out, and then you're trailing the entire way. Because when you have teams like themselves, the Indianapolis Colts, when you're a rushing first team and you're trailing early, it is hard to catch up. So that's really my big thing for Philadelphia. It's just 100% their rushing game. And then defensively, I think you've got to watch Brady's connections with his tight ends, with Brady and with Brayton and Gronk.
Yeah, I mean, the Buccaneers receivers down the stretch, obviously, like I said, they lost Antonio Brown to that crazy incident on the field where they released him. And then Chris Godwin to an injury. But even without those two, they were the receiving core for this team was great to finish the season. Mike Evans, over his last two games, totaled 10 receptions, 136 yards, and three touchdowns. Tyler Johnson caught 9 receptions for 72 yards in that span. And then, like you said, the tight end, Rob Gronkowski, 14 receptions, 252 yards in his last two outings. And the Eagles, they had one of the worst defenses against the tight end this year. So be on the lookout for maybe a big Gronk game in this one. But now, time for our predictions. Ryan, we'll start with you. Who do you have coming out on top in this game?
I think I have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers coming out on top. You know, as much as I'd like to say the Eagles are going to win this, I just think, you know, Tom Brady is someone I would never want to bet against. I mean, I think he proved that, especially last year with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as the defending Super Bowl champions. This is a very well-rounded team. They really don't have a lot of weaknesses. You know, they are a bit banged up, but you still have the greatest quarterback, greatest player in NFL history behind center. You still have Gronk, a valuable weapon asset. Mike Evans is still solid. You know, they have rotation running backs. They're both line plays are great. And I think the inexperience of the Eagles is a bit of a hindrance on them. This is Jalen Hurts' first playoff game. Nick Sirianni, Devontae Smith. You know, a lot of these guys, like you mentioned earlier, aren't from the Super Bowl team 4 years ago or even the 2019 team that lost to the Seattle Seahawks in the playoffs. So I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to win this game. I think it's going to be a close game. I'd say max within 10 points, but the Buccaneers are going to pull it off.
Chris, what about you? What do you think happens in this one?
This is a game where it also is looking like you're going to have a lot of precipitation in Tampa with what the weather forecast is showing there. So that does play into the hands of the Eagles. But like Ryan said, I mean, I never really want to be in the lone side of betting against Tom Brady. I think their defense has been really good this year when it comes to forcing pressure. And if Philadelphia ever has some struggles with having a slow start to their running game and they have to depend on Jalen Hurts passing, I think you could see Tampa getting wild with their front seven. But as I mentioned before, Brady's connections with his tight ends in the playoffs is always great. So I'll go with Tampa. Close game, I'll say like 24-14.
Yeah, even though the Buccaneers had a handful of injuries, they're still dealing with injuries. You know, right now it says Carlton Davis is questionable to play, as well as Sean Murphy Bunting. Jason Pierre-Paul is questionable. There's a handful of stars on this team that might not be available for the game. I still think I'm going to ride with Tampa Bay. I feel like that their offense has just been, again, humming throughout the season. And it just, I don't want to bet against Tom Brady. It's that simple. He's at home. I think he's going to take care of business. And I think the Buccaneers come out on top. But, guys, thank you, Ryan, for joining us. I think that's probably the last we'll hear of you, but we appreciate you talking about the Eagles. So thank you. Thank you for joining us.
And now, thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Now we're going to transition into our next NFC matchup. That is the San Francisco 49ers and the Dallas Cowboys. And again, we're going to hear from our guy, Jimmy Bliss. So, Jimmy, you can join us again. Welcome back. In this matchup, Dak Prescott in the league's best offense will look to win Dallas's first playoff game since 2018 against a 49ers team who needed overtime in the final week of the regular season to secure their spot in the playoffs. The last time these two teams met was in 2020, a game the Cowboys won 41-33, and Dallas is 5-2 all-time against San Francisco in the playoffs. So, Jimmy, San Francisco, again, the underdog, or at least the lower seed in this one, as they are coming in as the number six seed in the NFC. I mean, what is the avenue for the 49ers? A lot of people think that this game could go either way. So how do you see this one playing out?
Yeah, it's definitely a go-either-way type of game, Jory. If I'm the 49ers, I feel like this is a game that they can win, but it has to be – they have to execute their offensive game plan. And if I'm Kyle Shanahan, what I want to do on offense is obviously win the line of scrimmage battle. But I think that not only will they win it, I think that the Niners are going to dominate the offensive line of scrimmage. I think that with Trent Williams being the number one ranked left tackle according to PFF this year, I think George Kittle, whenever he's in, he's like an extra offensive lineman. He's that good at blocking. So it's almost like on every run play, you have six offensive linemen versus four down defensive linemen. And I like those numbers, six against four, no matter who it is guarding, whoever it is on offense or on defense. But you also have a guy, Deebo Samuel, who has been absolutely incredible this season for the 49ers. Got 1,405 receiving yards, six touchdowns, but also rushing the ball, 365 rushing yards and eight rushing touchdowns. That's 14 total touchdowns and over 1,700 all-purpose yards in the 17-game season. George Kittle had kind of a down year for his standards, 910 yards, six touchdowns, and like I mentioned, the best blocking tight end in the league. And they have impressive wins this year against the Rams. They beat Cincinnati. They beat Philadelphia. Those are four very good teams that they've beaten. They also went toe-to-toe against the Packers, but they ended up losing off a game-losing field goal with time expiring. They lost by 2 points. They took the lead with 37 seconds to go in that game, but Aaron Rodgers just does Aaron Rodgers type of things. Also, the last time the 49ers were healthy, they got to the Super Bowl. So this is a team that's a real dark horse and that no one should be overlooking. They dominate the line of scrimmage on offense. On defense, they can do the same thing. They have Fred Warner as well, a great, great linebacker, probably a top two, top three linebacker in the league. I just think that the 49ers, if they do what they can do, and that is run the ball well, if they can control the time of possession, if they can hit Deebo Samuel and George Kittle for occasional big plays, I'm not even mentioning Brandon Ayuk, who's another very good number two receiver in the NFL. If they're able to do everything that I just said, the 49ers will definitely be in this game, and they could potentially even take it.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this matchup. I think it'll be one of the best games of the weekend. But I mentioned the Cowboys, I mean, their offense, they were a little bit, you know, underperforming during the middle of the season. But coming into this game, over their last four outings, they've been outstanding. Dak Prescott in particular, he's thrown for 1,068 yards, 13 touchdowns, and zero interceptions in his last four games. So, again, that Dallas offense is just going crazy right now. And San Francisco's secondary has been far from the best in the league throughout the season. But, Chris, I mean, I guess looking now kind of at the Cowboys, how do you see this one playing out?
Yeah, I think San Francisco has definitely been a hot pick by people as an upset. Now, they have been great when it comes to, you know, filling in that stuff that you like out of playoff teams. It's very similar to their team 2 years ago where they're going to really pound the rock. I mean, they're north of 160 yards your last three or four games with Mitchell and Samuel. That front seven with Bosa and company is always going to be tough for any offensive line. That second half where they finished 6-2, they've definitely become this team that nobody wants to face. Simultaneously, Dallas, I would kind of put them in this category with the Rams as a big team full of playmakers. They don't always seem like the team that's always like mix as well and are always like playing their best brand of football. But due to their abundance of playmakers across both sides of the field, it sometimes overmatches their opponents. So I definitely think that this is going to be a close game. I'm leaning towards Dallas, though.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, like you said, this Dallas team has a myriad of playmakers. I mean, you have Trayvon Diggs, the corner who led the league in interceptions this season. You have Micah Parsons, who's probably the rookie of the year.
CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean,
Cedric Wilson came out. It was a beast.
Mm-hmm. Zach Martin, one of the best offensive linemen in the league. So it's just, hey, they're everywhere on this Dallas team, and we'll see how the 49ers can, hang with that. But that being said, time for our predictions. Jimmy, we'll start with you. Who do you think wins this game?
I like another upset here, boys. I think the 49ers are going to go into Dallas, and I think they're going to win. I think that they're going to dominate the line of scrimmage on both ends. And I know that Dallas's playmakers are very, very good. But at this point in time, I'm not even sure if they have the top two playmakers in this game. I think Deebo Samuel and George Kittle might be the best two weapons in this game. The Dallas O-line, it's still good, but it's not as good as it's been in years past. And their D-line, I think, is going to get pushed around a little bit. I think with the ability to run the ball that the 49ers have and their ability to go into SoFi Stadium and beat the Rams when they needed to, that's the momentum that they needed to get into the playoffs and to show that they are really, really good teams. They can beat really good teams, excuse me. The Cowboys, I think that they're a little bit of fool's gold just because they went 6-0 against the NFC East, but 6-5 against everyone else. If they were in any other division, I'm not even sure they would win it, quite frankly. I mean, the Washington football team, the Giants, and the Eagles, no offense to them, but they're not quite up to scratch. I'm picking the Niners to win this game 27-20. I think that they have everything needed to upset a Cowboys team like this.
Chris, what about you?
This is a tough pick of mine. However, I've never been somebody to root for the Cowboys, but in the years that you've watched Jason Garrett, you've always felt that this team was held back, that he was given many teams that were 100% deserving, definitely had the chance of making the playoffs, definitely possibly NFC championship and even Super Bowl potential, but they never got over that hump. Now, does Mike McCarthy having as your head coach really increase that? Maybe a little, but to me, I think that this is finally the chance for Cowboys to change this narrative that they've had for, you know, over 25 years now, ever since they won their fifth Super Bowl as a franchise, that they've just been in the gutter whenever it comes to playoff opportunities. They can never really get past that hump. So I I'm going with they have the better quarterback. I'd say when it comes to playmakers, they're very close to each other. Maybe give it to San Francisco on offense. But I think I'm going to go with Dallas in a high scoring one. I'll go 31-27.
Yeah, you know, this is probably the toughest pick of the weekend. Honestly, I think if Dallas's passing attack can't really get going, I think it will, because again, San Francisco's secondary hasn't been great this year. But if their passing attack for whatever reason underperforms, it's going to be a very difficult for the Cowboys to score. I mean, San Francisco's rushing defense was great this season. And then, of course, Ezekiel Elliott has been struggling of late. Tony Pollard missed the last week of the season with a foot injury. So you don't really know who you're going to have back there in the backfield for Dallas. So I think they're going to have to rely on Dak Prescott and that passing attack. Luckily for them, it's been great down the stretch. I'm going to go with the Cowboys. I think they're going to secure the victory here at home. I think they're the hotter team right now, even though, again, the 49ers are coming off a big-time win in the last week of the season. But I just feel like Dallas is going to get the job done. I mean, their defense has really been exceptional this year. And, again, they just have so many playmakers on this team. So I think when it comes down to it, they're going to get one of those big-time plays from one of those big-time players and win this game. But, Jimmy, thank you for joining us. I think that's also the last we'll hear from you. We appreciate you giving your insight on all the teams that you have, and take care, man.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Absolutely. Now we are going to transition into our final AFC playoff game of the weekend. That is the Pittsburgh Steelers versus the Kansas City Chiefs. Joe Camerota is our analyst for this portion of the show. Joe, you got the Steelers beanie on. We know what team you're repping. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Joy. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, Joe, a lot of people believe that week 18, their matchup with the Baltimore Ravens, Pittsburgh matchup, that is, would be the final game of Big Ben's career. But he's moving on, and he's going to be looking to win his 14th career playoff game against the red-hot Kansas City Chiefs, who, after opening the year 3-4, finished the season winning 9 of their last 10 games. So, obviously, you've watched the Steelers very closely throughout the season. I mean, is there any way that they can slow down this Kansas City offense and secure a victory in KC?
So, the only way I think that happens is if Kansas City decides to pass the ball a lot. Because, yes, Kansas City has a great pass offense, but my God, is the Steelers' run defense just awful. It's the worst I've ever seen. It's embarrassing. As a Steelers fan, it's embarrassing to watch, because, you know, the Steelers are – when you think of the Steelers, you think, you know, stop the run, run the football. They can't stop a nosebleed. They let Latavius Murray run for, like, over 140 yards last week. Like, come on. What are we doing here? So the only way I think the Steelers kind of have a chance – and I don't think they – I don't know. I have this weird feeling the Steelers might come out on top, but, like, my thinking using my brain.
You're a fan is what you are.
Like, using my brain, there's no chance. They don't match up well with anyone. They shouldn't be in the playoffs in the first place. I mean, they're just a bad team, man. They're a bad team. They don't have their quarterback's not good enough to get them out of bad situations. I don't think Ben's bad, but he's just average, like below average maybe. I mean, if they're close in a tight game in the fourth quarter, I trust him. But he hasn't had a good game since the Vikings game, I think. I mean, since then, it's basically just been him bailing the team out and doing something in the fourth quarter and being meh in the first three. So, and then I think the Steelers need to try to pound the rock, run the football with Najee Harris. I think that's their key to success on offense, if they could get going there. But even then, their offensive line is all backups at this point. I mean, Dan Moore Jr. might be back, who's their starting left tackle, but he's a rookie. Kevin Dotson, who was the starting left guard on the season, he just phased out of the 21-day window for injured reserve, so he can't come back. So now they're starting John LeGlue, who was on the practice squad to start the year at at left guard. Their center is J.C. Hasenauer, who is a backup, who only is playing now at center because Kendrick Green, the guy they drafted, was so bad he got benched. Their right guard is Trey Turner, so he's kind of been starting all year. And then their right tackle is Chukwuma Okorafor, who was supposed to start at left tackle this season, but Zach Banner never really – he got hurt start the season now, so now he's playing right tackle. So the offensive line is a bunch of mishmash, terribleness. The running game is meh. Sometimes it looks good, sometimes it looks bad. And the passing game is just – who knows? It's going to be bad. I think the Steelers will cover because, I mean, it's a playoff game. They'll keep it close, I think. But I don't know. The Chiefs are a much better team. The one thing I would kind of look for here is Hill's might not play. Kelsey will play, but it doesn't look like Hill's going to play. I think, or if he does play, he's going to be very hindered with that foot injury. And then Edwards-Helaire, I don't know if he's going to play. I know yesterday he was downgraded. He didn't practice at all with his shoulder. So we'll see what happens there. But either way, I think there's just too much firepower for the Chiefs, and I think they just match up really well with the Steelers.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Pittsburgh's rushing attack, or excuse me, their rushing defense. It has been the worst in the league. They ranked dead last in yards per carry and yards per game. But that being said, Adam Schefter tweeted out earlier today that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be out against the Steelers. So, again, their starting running back is not going to be there. And Darrell Williams, who's been dealing with a toe injury, he's expected to play. But like you said, I mean, it's going to be hindering him, surely, throughout the game. And Tyreek Hill is also expected to play. But I believe – I can't remember who they faced in their final game of the season, the Chiefs. But
the Broncos.
Broncos.
That's true, yes. And well, I should have remembered that probably. But they had Tyreek out there, and he definitely did not look like himself. So, I mean, if he's still dealing with that heel injury, who knows? Maybe you just have one big-time receiver in Travis Kelce that you really have to worry about. And that being said, I mean, Pittsburgh's defense against tight ends this year has been pretty good. So, not saying that the Chiefs are going to lose to the Steelers, but I think it's not out of the – exactly, that's another thing. You know, you have Juju Smith-Schuster coming back. We wonder what kind of impact he'll make. But, Chris, I mean, I've said enough, I feel like. What do you have on this game?
Yeah, both of you mentioned before, but when it comes to Steelers rushing defense, it's just been god-awful.
What are your fun stat about that?
They've led up 2,500 rushing yards this year.
Last time the Steelers finished last in rushing, I think they made the playoffs too, which was either 1989 or sometime in the 70s, which is a weird stat that you finish last in rushing defense and somehow you make the playoffs. But
yeah. But you actually, if I can give any silver lining before, when the Steelers back in 2006, when they were in the regular season, just got destroyed by the Indianapolis Colts, they ended up finding a way to turn that around. And then all of a sudden they found a way to beat him in the playoffs miraculously. However, I'm looking at the defense, the Steelers team this year, I mean, their offense has been average. I mean, they've just been meh, I think would just be a great word to describe it. They've never been just really impressive. And Big Ben, I mean, he's only had like 200-300 yard passing games. There's nothing really you like compared to Kansas City, which I think has been one of the most completely disregarded teams throughout much of the NFL this season, winning 9 of their last 10. Their lightning offense, they're the best team on third down. And then simultaneously with the defense that after the disgraceful performance they had versus the Bills, that defense is only allowed like 17 points per game. So it definitely seems off the top immediately just a complete mismatch that everyone's just picking as like pick your number for Kansas City.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be an interesting game. Like you said, Kansas City's offense has really been great after a slow start. Their offensive line has allowed just 28 sacks this season, which ranks third in the league, and only 4 sacks over their last 4 games. But obviously we know, I mean, Steelers pass rush with T.J. Watt and Cam Hayward, I mean, that it's outstanding. They rank first in sacks this year with 55 and 8th in QB pressure percentage. So It's going to be a game of back and forth for sure. But now, of course, as always, it's time for our predictions. Joe, we'll start with you. Can the Steelers get the upset?
No, but also another interesting thing to watch for. I don't think Keith Butler is back with defensive coordinator for COVID. So Mike Tomlin will be running the defense again this week if Butler doesn't come back. So, I mean, it might be a little bit different look for the Chiefs. But, yeah, I think the Chiefs win 30-20.
I like the score prediction. I think it's probably accurate. Yeah, something like that. Chris, what about you?
Yeah, this is similar with Joe here. I think that the Steelers can hold it around for, I think, a half. But, I mean, eventually Kansas City, like they do it, every opponent of theirs, they're just too good at times. They've been doing this for, like, the past 3 years where eventually you just can't keep up with them. So I'm going to go with the Chiefs. We'll go 27-13.
Yes, I also am going to pick the Chiefs. You know, their defense hasn't been outstanding this year, the Chiefs, that is. But I think they're gonna be good enough to slow down the Steelers. And Pittsburgh's offense, I feel like it's gonna be a hard time keeping up with Patrick Mahomes and that offense. It's even without Tyreek Hill at full strength, I feel like they have a number of playmakers, like, you know, Mecole Hardman. There's just a number of other speedy receivers, of course Travis Kelce, but it's not gonna be easy for Pittsburgh to keep up. And I think the Chiefs are gonna get this victory and move on. But Joe, thank you for joining us. We appreciate your insight, and who knows? Maybe Big Ben will get another game after this weekend. Who knows?
Who knows, man? Who knows? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for coming on. And we have now reached our final game, and I'm excited about this next guest, of course, one of my closest friends. He's actually out in Los Angeles right now. And we're talking about this matchup between the Arizona Cardinals and the Los Angeles Rams, the last game of the weekend. That's going to be played on Monday. But Cameron Karazny, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. The weather's somewhat warm as opposed to, you know, what's going down in your home state. I think it's been pretty fun out here. I mean, we have the Super Bowl in Los Angeles this year. I know there's a lot of talk that maybe the NFL might pull it. I believe the report just came out that they won't pull it. So that's a pretty good thing. A lot of hype is already building around the city, around SoFi Stadium. I think the city of LA is really enjoying its football this year.
It is certainly going to be a good matchup. These two NFC West division rivals split their season series this year. The Cardinals won 37-20 in week 4, and then the Rams won 30-23 in week 14. Obviously, a lot has been made of this Cardinals roster. They lose DeAndre Hopkins. They lose J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt might be able to play in this game, actually, but we'll have to see when the time comes. But Arizona, who started the season 7-0, finished their year losing 6 of their last 10 games. And the Rams, on the other hand, they won 5 of their last 6 games. So, again, a tale of two sides. But Cameron, as our Rams analyst, I mean, do you think they can come out on top? How do you see that happening?
So I think it's interesting because this is definitely a narrative, you know, written game. You know, the Rams really decided to trade away a lot of their future just so they can be in win now mode. And, you know, the product hasn't been often the best throughout the season. I think at the beginning of the season, they had a very hot, they had a decent start. Things started to slow down for them mid-season. And you saw that when the Cardinals beat them earlier in the year. But, you know, things seem to kind of be moving in the right direction. I mean, the loss to the 49ers didn't really help. But then again, the 49ers had a little more motivation to just try and get to the playoffs. I think the other interesting thing about this matchup is that, you know, I think it's a combination of two very, very aggressive coaching staffs. I think you saw when Sean McVay really shocked the league a few years ago that a lot of organizations throughout the NFL thought, okay, why don't we start going for it on fourth down? The stats are in our favor. Why don't we go ahead and hire a young head coach who can really speak language as a lot of their players? And you saw Arizona kind of copy that model when they hired Cliff Kingsbury out of Texas Tech. Now, if you look at the talent between these two teams, obviously, I think it really speaks more to that of the Rams. But, you know, they have a lot of challenges going into the week. I think, you know, playing a division rival, you know, already having played them twice where you kind of split matchups makes this game a lot more unpredictable. You know, they kind of have to adjust to each other's play style. I think a way that the Rams can really win the game is really, you know, toughen up on their pass rush. In the last game they had against the Cardinals, they had really, you know, drop back on, you know, and kind of put some pressure on Kyler Murray, and it really paid dividends for him. They have a banged up secondary. I don't believe they have Jordan Fuller this week. They just signed Eric Weddle out of retirement, which I don't really understand, but, you know, makes, I guess, something that they kind of need. I don't believe they're going to have Taylor Rapp. He's in concussion protocol. So you're going to see a lot from Jalen Ramsey, you know, out into the field. And, you know, the Arizona Cardinals do have a very good receiving core led by Christian Kirk and DeAndre Hopkins. So if they get some pressure on Kyler Murray, especially with the big guys that they have, Aaron Donald, Von Miller, if they get some pressure on him and they kind of slow the game down and play to their own pace, I think it'll be really good for them. I think getting Cam Akers back is really helpful. I believe they just activated Darrell Henderson off of the COVID-19 reserve list. I was reading a stat that said that if they run the ball, you know, anything more than 25 times a game, then they're 7-1 on the year. Obviously, they have an incredible receiving core with Odell Beckham Jr., you know, and obviously, you know, I guess the second greatest receiving season in the history of the NFL with Cooper Kupp. So they have a decent receiving core. You know, I think Arizona matches up decent with them, at least better than most, with the kind of secondary that they have led by Buda Baker, who seems to be all over the field anytime he plays. I think if you Arizona respect the run, it opens up a lot for him in the passing game. It's funny because Matt Stafford's looking for his first playoff win alongside the young QB Kyler Murray. And Stafford's been shaky. You know, he's been a very aggressive quarterback. He's very much prone to turnovers, and I believe that the Rams are going to want to limit those if they're going to want to win this game. But I believe if they really emphasize the run, I think if they keep the Cardinals on their toes, and I think if they get creative defensively with a lot of the injuries that they do have, I think they can really win this game. The Cardinals are an incredibly aggressive team. I think getting him in bad field position is going to really help the Rams because, as we know, Cliff Kingsbury will go for it on 4th-and-12, you know, even in the first half. He's shown that before, and, you know, anytime you play an aggressive team, you really want to slow the game down and you want to play to your own pace. So I think that's what's going to really help them in this contest.
Yeah, those are all great points, Cameron. I mean, you mentioned the two quarterbacks. I found an interesting statistic about the two quarterbacks in this game. The Rams this season are undefeated when Matt Stafford has a QB rate of over 100. They're 9-0. The Cardinals are also undefeated when Kyler has a QB rate of over 100. They're 8-0. So it kind of feels like whoever plays better at the quarterback position is going to win this game.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that's going to go more towards the defenses than anything. I think the Cardinals are a little healthier on defense, but they don't have as much talent as the Rams do. I think, like I said, I think pressuring the quarterback is going to be incredibly important. I don't mean to sound like one of those draft experts or anything like that, but, you know, getting a smaller Kyler Murray to have to throw bigger defensive linemen is going to shore up some of the problems in their secondary, because even though Jalen Ramsey would be matched up against DeAndre Hopkins, you're kind of putting up backup players against, you know, players like Christian Kirk and AJ Green, who really, you know, everyone kind of wrote off that veteran, but near the end of the year he was a really big player for them. They have a decent running attack led by, you know, Kyler Murray and James Conner, who I believe is healthy. I think he should be coming back. Chase Edmonds, another great receiving back. So if they kind of play more of a, I guess you might want maybe like a QB spy or something of that nature. But if they center their defense around stopping Kyler Murray and not necessarily trying to go after DeAndre Hopkins or the receivers, I think they'll have a better shot of winning the game. And to your point about the passer rating, I think, you know, if the Rams are going to want to win, then contrary to how the Arizona Cardinals play, I think Stafford's going to want to be a little more conservative with the ball, not take the deep shot unless you have it. I know you have great receivers, but the Cardinals have some really good players in their secondary. So if you emphasize the run, you stay patient, and you look for players that are open, you don't try to force anything, I think they can really win this game, and I think they can really dominate. No, maybe not dominate, but they can really control the game, kind of like how they did in the Week 14 win against Arizona.
Chris, how do you see this matchup playing out?
I'd say that this is a matchup that I love, similar to New England and Buffalo, where you kind of have that in-division third time meeting between these two teams. And this is probably my favorite division because I've seen these past couple years, all four of these teams are very competitive. They are great out of the division. They're really difficult to face, all four of them.
But for these two, I think the main thing that you're going to come down to is Matthew Stafford, that we saw in the beginning of the year when it was those early games that he was this MVP star that everyone was wondering if they were if that was going to happen with him finally in LA. He kind of had a stumble in the middle of the season in games against Tennessee and at San Francisco, that those were some struggles in which the Rams lost some of their footing. But now as they've finished the season with a strong second half, as you mentioned, winning five of their last six, I really think I'd favor them in terms of offense. I was questionable of the addition of Odell Beckham Jr., but as the season's been maturing, he's been improving, and he's definitely proven to be the second option and a great second option with how Cooper Kupp has just been constantly just getting 10 receptions and north of like 120 yards every single game. Defensively, I'd say the Rams have the edge when it comes to their star playmakers. As I mentioned earlier, very similar to Dallas with just a playmaker filled team both on both sides of the ball. However, I wouldn't just immediately disregard Arizona when it came to Jordan Hicks and their defensive front. So it's really up in the air when it comes to both teams. They have a lot of playmakers. It is going to be a great game. It was, by the way, also a phenomenal decision, I think, for the NFL to really stretch out this weekend of having including a game on Monday night for the playoffs. Was a very wise decision for them to continue to not have everyone forget about it and be able to lengthen their grip on a classic weekend like this.
Absolutely. Well, time for our predictions. It seems like we kind of already talked about who we think is going to win this game, but Cameron, we'll start with you. Who do you have coming out on top?
I think, you know, experience is really going to play a factor. I like the season that Arizona has had. And I think a game like this is going to be conducive to Arizona's future. How the future holds for Cliff Kingsbury. But I think they're going to have a strong performance. I think the Rams are going to win. I think they have the more experienced team. I think they have the more patient team. I think, you know, despite a lot of the mistakes that they've made in the past few weeks, I think the veteran presence on that team is going to lead them to better decision-making. And obviously in a game like this, better decision-making is going to win you the game. So I think I would take the Rams. I think it's going to be one of those games where it's low scoring in the first half, and then it really kicks off in the second half when these teams get a little more aggressive. So I'd probably put the score at like 28 to 24. I think it'll be a close game. I think it's going to be a game that's decided in the fourth quarter with some good playmaking from Matthew Stafford. And yeah, that's how I think it's going to go. And I think you should probably expect a really big turnover by one of these teams late in the game, as it always seems to be. So that's my more detailed description than I thought I was going to give.
What about you, Chris? How do you see this one playing?
Like I mentioned earlier, the X factor of this game is going to be Matthew Stafford. In games where he's playing at this MVP level, I think the Rams are going to be could be Super Bowl champs, because when you look at him, he's really going to be the determining factor between their low floor and their high ceiling. This is a team that could just flounder this week against Arizona. And or they could just be raising the Lombardi Trophy, because it depends on Matthew Stafford. And it would be a horrible look for the amount of picks that they've traded for him, their acquisition of Von Miller. It would be really bad look for them to all of a sudden lose in the first round here against Arizona. But I don't think that is going to happen. I'm going to go with the Rams. I love the way of controlling Kyler Murray in previous games late in the season when they were when they had a lackluster second half, when they faced good defensive fronts like Indianapolis and et cetera. That is the MO of LA with Aaron Donald, the best defensive player in the NFL. I am going to go with the Rams, and we'll go 34-31.
I like the score prediction. I think it's going to definitely be another high-scoring game for sure. I'm also going to go with the Rams. I just feel like they're a more complete team right now. They're also probably the healthier team right now. Like Cameron mentioned, they got Eric Weddle to come out of retirement, which is a pretty interesting, you know, fact right there. But, you know, their offense has been humming for the majority of the season. Cooper Kupp, as Cameron mentioned, the best receiver this year. Matt Stafford, he's certainly going to have to clean up his play in the playoffs. He led the NFL in interceptions this season with 17. So he's certainly going to have to take care of the ball a little bit more in the playoffs. But I think the Rams are going to get it done against Arizona. And that has concluded this show, the NFL Super Wildcard Weekend Preview Show. Again, Cameron, thank you for joining us on this final segment, first of all. We appreciate you coming in, talking about Los Angeles. We love having you on, as always. Chris, thank you for joining me throughout the entire show. I appreciate you being here. And then, of course, myself, Jory Mickens. We hope you enjoy the football throughout the entire weekend, throughout the entire playoff. But again, that's going to do it for this WSOU broadcast of the 2021-2022 NFL playoffs. All right. Take care, everyone. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next time.